life is easy. And it's easy to do the right thing or to do certain things when everything is going great in life. Let me give you an example. It's easy to eat healthy when all you have in the house is healthy food. And it's easy to stay on a budget when you don't have any unexpected bills. But when circumstances change for the worse, it could become a little bit more challenging. And I think the same can be said of our faith in Jesus. For the most part, I think all of us would agree that here that when things are going well in our life, when we have our health, when things are going well with our job, they're going well at home, when our children are acting right and the husband and wife are acting right, it's pretty easy to maintain our faith. It's easy to have a solid faith in the Lord. But when the situation changes for the worse, when circumstances in life get harder or more challenging, then our faith in Jesus might begin to waver. There's a man in the Bible who knows all about this, and his name is John the Baptist. And John was a great man. In fact, in Luke chapter 7, verse 28, Jesus says this about John: "I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." Jesus recognized John was a good man. Even his enemies, like Herod in Mark chapter 6, verse 20, describe John as being a holy and just man. John the Baptist dedicated his life doing the will of God. God appointed John to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, to soften the hearts of men so they would be receptive to Jesus and his message. And I got to tell you, John did a great job. He was successful, and in probably safe to say that John the Baptist baptized thousands of people. And John could look back at the work that he had done early in his career, and he could say that he was really successful and that things were going great and life was going according to plan and that the will of God was being carried out. But for John, things would soon change. You see, his circumstances were about to get worse. We see in Matthew 11, verse 2, that John was in prison because he was doing the right thing, because he was preaching the gospel, because he was preaching sound doctrine on marriage and divorce. He was thrown into prison. And it was during this time that he was thrown in jail that John heard something. He heard something that Jesus had done. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. John heard about a miracle that Jesus had performed. Jesus raised to life a dead man at that man's funeral. Now, that would have been some more thing to see, a dead man being raised at his own funeral. And the news about this spread everywhere, and some of the disciples of John heard this, and they went to visit John in prison. And the Bible says in verse 18 of Luke chapter 7, the disciples of John reported to him about all these things. The disciples told John about Jesus raising the dead man. And listen to what John said in the next verse, verse 19. Summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?" I don't know about you, but that seems like a really unusual response from John after hearing what Jesus had done. Now he wants to ask Jesus a question. Are you the coming one, or should we look for another? The disciples went to Jesus in verses 22 and 23 and in the same chapter, and Jesus answered John's question. He said, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to John, and I want you to tell him the things that you've heard and the things that you've seen." And if we look at verse 22, it says, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them." You know, that should have been a sufficient answer, I think, for John's question. But Jesus didn't stop there. He says, oh, and tell him one more thing. Look at verse 23. It says, "Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Another version says, "Blessed is he who does not stumble because of me." That's an interesting and maybe a confusing answer to John's question. He told John, "Blessed is he who is not offended or does not stumble because of me. What Jesus wanted John to recognize was that he knew John's circumstances. He knew that life was not going according to what John had thought it should be. Good should be going. He was telling John that he would be blessed if he was not offended because of him. You'll be blessed if you do not stumble because of me. You'll be blessed if you do not lose your faith or quit or throw in the towel because of me. You know, one of the questions we need to consider when we study the Bible is, why did the Holy Spirit put this event in scriptures for us to read? Maybe it's because challenges in life can cause us to have the same questions to Jesus. You know, we're not going to ask, are you the coming one or should we look for another? But sometimes when we're going through difficult days, we can have questions to Jesus like John did. And maybe some of us here tonight are going through some difficult times. And as a result, we are asking Jesus, Lord, what's going on? Help me to understand what's happening. But when we approach Jesus with a question, there's something that he wants us to consider. He wants us to consider verse 23. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You know, if we were to put the words that Jesus gave John in verse 23 into the form of a question, that question would be something like this. Will you be offended by me? Or will you stumble because of me? I tell you this question. This verse 23, you first see it and you just skim over it, but it's pretty powerful text. It's a faith-altering question, I think, that we need to consider. And do you see it there? Let's talk about it. But now, before we find out how this applies to us and our faith, I want to go back to John and his situation, because there's some valuable lessons that we can learn from John and what happened to him that can benefit us in our faith. So think about John for a minute. Think about when John received this news from Jesus. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. I got to tell you that when John heard this, that may have not been the answer that he wanted, and it may have been a little disappointing for John to hear, and here's why. You see, John's situation did not improve. He asked Jesus a question. Jesus gave him an answer. But that answer didn't change the present situation that John was in. In fact, if you put yourself in John's shoes for a minute, or maybe his sandals, whatever they wore back then, think about this. You're John the Baptist. You're doing the will of God. You've dedicated your life to serving God. You're doing the right thing. You're teaching the right thing. And the reward for doing all this work is that you're thrown into prison. And as you sit in jail, with every passing day, every passing week, it becomes more obvious that maybe things are not going to change. But then you hear some news, you know, stop the presses. A dead man is raised at his own funeral by Jesus. If you were John, how would you feel when you heard this news? I think you'd have to feel pretty excited and happy. I'd have hope in the fact that maybe my situation was fixing to change. In fact, if I was John and I was in jail and maybe I had some cellmates with me, I'd tell them, did you hear the good news? Did you hear what Jesus did? He raised a dead man back to life. And you know what that means for me? I'm probably going to get out of this place. You know, after all, Jesus is my cousin. Surely he's going to come and help me out any day now. You know, I'd be excited. I'd be telling people, you're probably not going to see me around here too much longer because Jesus is going to help me. If he helped that man over here, then surely he's going to help me. But how did John respond? Verses 18 and 19. There doesn't seem to be even a hint of excitement in John at all when he hears the news. He said, summoning two of his disciples, he sent them to the Lord saying, are you the expected one or do we look for someone else? The only thing that news produced in John was a question. Are you the coming one or should we look for another? He asked a question, he got his answer, but the answer that he got did nothing to change his situation there in prison. In fact, his bad situation was about to become even worse, because in Mark chapter 6 and verse 21 through 29, we learn that John was beheaded by a wicked man named Herod. And it's a tragic story and a tragic end to a good man. But I will say, as sad as this story is, there's some good news here. You see, John said something earlier when he began preparing the way for Jesus. Look at John chapter 3, verse 30. And this will help us see how there's good news in this story. In John 3:30, John the Baptist speaking about Jesus, notice what he says about Jesus. He says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." What does that mean? You know, the plan of God from the beginning was for John to prepare the way for Jesus, to be the forerunner to Jesus, but ultimately for men to follow Jesus. John was to get out of the way. Now, John had followers, he had disciples, and he recognized there was going to come a point in his life when he was going to have to decrease. His stature would have to decrease so that the stature of Jesus would increase so that men would follow him. Follow Jesus. The challenging part of this is that I don't know if John had in mind when he said he was going to have to decrease that he'd be thrown into prison and later beheaded. I don't know if he's thinking about that when he said he was going to have to decrease. But while that's a tragic story, you know, consider this for a second. The fact that John had to endure these things and ended up losing his life because he was preparing a way for Jesus, that good things came as a result of that. You see, men began to follow Jesus, and the kingdom of God would be blessed. Many of the disciples of John followed Jesus. God's plan was working. And now that's hard for us to consider. You know, for John, Jesus gave him a tough answer to hear, but there's something else that we can't miss. That is that John did not stumble. He was not offended because of Jesus. And there's no evidence in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, or the Gospel of John that indicates that John ever lost his faith in Jesus, or that he ever stumbled over the words of Jesus, or that he ever left Jesus because his situation did not improve. John should be commended because of that. He continued his faith in Jesus Christ. But there's something else that we need to observe. When we study these verses carefully, in the book of Luke, we find something else. And what we find is going to be powerful when it comes to our faith. Consider this. Jesus did not obligate himself to improve John's poor circumstances. Think about that. Could Jesus have saved John from prison? Absolutely. Could Jesus have saved John from being beheaded? Absolutely. But Jesus did not do that. He didn't obligate himself to change all of John's poor circumstances. In fact, we see that he obligated himself to do one thing. Look at verse 23 where he said, "Blessed is he who is not offended by me." Jesus obligated himself to bless John if he would not stumble, if he would not quit because of him. John is going to receive that blessing because he did not stumble, because of Jesus, and because of his circumstances. And now he has something more to look forward to than his life would ever give him, and that was the life of being with God in heaven for eternity. But what about us? You know, I guess we need to bring this home a little bit. Are we going to stumble if Jesus does not change our circumstances? Now, this may be hard for us because sometimes our circumstances, our situation in life, it may not improve. Our circumstances may not get better. And if that happens, are we going to stumble over Jesus? So maybe there's somebody here tonight that feels a little bit like John the Baptist. Like John, you're a worker in the kingdom and you're following God and you're walking with the Lord and you're sacrificing and you're helping others. But when you look around, it just seems like Jesus is helping everyone else but you. Does it anyone feel like that or have you ever felt like that? And maybe like John, you have a question that you want Jesus to answer. And now may not be, are you the coming one? Should we look for another? But maybe your question is, Lord, why are you helping everybody else but me? Or maybe your question is, Lord, I was hoping my spouse would do better because I'm doing better as a spouse and I've changed some of my ways and I've improved my outlook in life. I just thought in some way that would rub off so the situation in our marriage would improve, but it's not happening. And Jesus, I want to know why you're not changing my family situation. Or maybe your question is this, Jesus, I've repented of my sins and Lord, I know I've messed up my life and I've caused a tremendous amount of stress to myself and others. But I've repented of all that and confessed my sins like you instruct us to do in your word. And I thought when I did this, my life would just pick up where I jumped off. I thought when I did this and I repented and I confessed that things would get back to normal, that my relationships would be better and maybe be where they used to be. But that's not happening. And Lord, I want to know why. Or maybe you're asking this question. Jesus, you know, I got to be real honest with you. I don't know if I should continue to follow you. I don't know if it's worth me being your disciple because when I came up out of that water and got baptized, I thought my life was going to be easier. I thought things were going to fall into place. I thought my school situation would improve. I thought my work situation would improve. I thought my family situation would improve. I just thought that I wasn't going to have many problems. I thought you were going to pour blessings down on me every single day and that almost nothing would go wrong. But Jesus, since I've got baptized, my life has been just as bad as it was before. Should I continue to even follow you? Like John, when we have a question like that, Jesus, well, he hears us. And like John, he is concerned about us. And like John, he recognizes our struggles. And like John, Jesus wants us to consider something because he wants to know if we're going to stumble because of him. Jesus is asking us some questions. He's asking, well, if your marriage relationship does not improve the way you want it, are you going to be offended by me? If your family continues to disappoint you, if that young man who you raised up in church has now left, the young daughter that you raised up in church and has now deserted and walked away from everything, if they never come back, if they never get their lives right, are you going to stumble because of me? If you don't get that job or the promotion that you know you deserve, are you going to throw in the towel because of me? If you're not getting the recognition that you think you should in the kingdom of God, you do a lot of work behind the scenes that many people don't even know that you're doing. You're putting long hours, but you're not getting the recognition. Are you going to quit on me? That's what Jesus is asking us. If you don't have the amount of money that you want or the amount of money that you need, are you going to stumble because of me? And if your body is destroyed by disease, even in the prime of your life, are you going to be offended by me? How should we all respond to this? And we all know the response should be an emphatic no. I'm not going to stumble. I'm going to stick with you. And I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hang tight and I'm going to trust you every day. But to be honest, it isn't always that easy to do, is it? It's hard, it's challenging, it's tough, and it's difficult. It's not easy, and sometimes we just don't do that. And because it's hard, because it's not always easy to do, there's something else that we need to think of. We need to think of another question. And I'm going to tell you that right now, this question, I think it can be a life-changing question. When you're in the middle of difficult circumstances, when we are struggling, we need to consider this question. Is Jesus obligated to improve my situation? Is Jesus obligated to improve my situation? Notice what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't have the power to change whatever he desires because he does. I'm not saying that Jesus is not concerned about our problems because he is. I'm not saying that Jesus won't give us strength so that we can bear our burdens because he will. However, is Jesus obligated to change or improve all of our situations? And we know the answer to that. Think about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and 8, 7, 8, and 9. He cried out to God three times, "Remove the thorn in my flesh." Paul wanted his circumstances to change. Jesus heard his request, and he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Jesus did not change Paul's circumstances. Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 58, Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit, was surrounded by a mob who were getting ready to stone him. And by the way, stoning is not a good way to leave this earth. Jesus was up in heaven, standing on the right side of God, looking down at Stephen. He saw everything that was taking place, but did Jesus change his situation? He did not. And I'm not saying that Jesus didn't help him by giving him the strength and the promises of better things to come, because he did. But he did not obligate himself to improve every situation that those men were in. He promised them things to come, that they would be blessed if they did not stumble. He promised to give them the strength that they would need. He did the same for John the Baptist, and he'll do the same for us. Jesus said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me," which means even if our situation does not improve, we still have better days to look forward to. That's a blessing from the Lord. And the question is, are we going to stumble over Jesus? I want to close with a passage from 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter spoke about how some men received Jesus while he was here on earth. Look at verses 6, 7, and 8. It says, "For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed." During the days of Jesus, there were some who had expectations for Jesus, and when those expectations were not met, the Bible teaches us that Jesus became a stumbling stone for them. But for those who accepted Jesus, well, he became their cornerstone. The question for us is, Jesus going to become a stumbling stone, or is he going to be our cornerstone in life? And if Jesus will be our cornerstone, if we'll not stumble over him, we'll have the blessings to look forward to. But if we fall, if he becomes our stumbling block, then we're going to have to miss out on the only thing that really matters, and that's spending eternity with him. Maybe there's a Christian here this evening who has stumbled and left Jesus and thrown in the towel and given up, and he wants you to come back, and he's willing to pick you up and to give you another chance. Maybe there's somebody here that's not a Christian, that's outside of Christ, who is still lost in their sins. Are you going to stumble because of Jesus? Jesus tells us that we must repent and be baptized if we're going to be saved. Are we going to stumble over his words, or will you be offended by him? For someone who is subject to the invitation, we want to invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.